The film crickets are intended for mature audiences. Any guests on the film crickets do not necessarily share the same opinions as the film crickets. It's time for the Film Crickets with Jay Fortier, Chris Martineau, and Melanie Howerton. On this week's episode, Instagram and TikTok sensation Jordan from Can't Buy Me 80s returns to the show, and Jay, Chris, Melanie, and Jordan review the 1986 American black comedy mystery slasher film, April Fool's Day. Does it stand the test of time? Let's find out. Your Film Crickets are on now.
It has more titles than Apollo Creed.
Holy smokes.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot of adjectives.
Yeah. Hey, friends, and welcome to the Film Crickets. It's a podcast where we talk about movies from 1980 to 1999, decide beyond the shadow of a doubt whether or not these movies stand the test of time. I'm your co-host, Jay Fortier. I'm along with my good friend and co-host, Chris Martineau.
Bye. Oh, no, sorry, April Fool's.
Bye.
All right, so no. I meant to say hi. See, you fell right into that. Sorry, Jay, go ahead.
No, that's cool, man. And along with my good friend and co-host, Melanie Howerton. How are you, Melanie?
Hello, how you guys doing? Good, thanks. How you doing?
Sorry. good. And welcome, Jordan, once again from Can't Buy Me 80s. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again. This is always so much fun to do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks
love
for
the
coming
posters
on.
In the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of the people that weren't here before the podcast started, Jordan spent a lot of time getting that hair to look like that, and we appreciate the time that you spent. I'm not making fun.
Guys,
I mean, that is something. I don't have hair. I wish I had hair like that. I don't even have hair.
You
look at this shit.
You want
it's crazy.
You guys want to know something cool?
I used to do mine. Was huge.
I did not. I could have put like a little caption at the top last time, but there was a moment in the middle of the show where both Melanie and Jordan both did a lip gloss break.
Nice.
At the same exact moment.
I'm sorry, I'm addicted to that. I have to have it like every 5 minutes.
No, it was
what we have to do.
It was literally no, but it was almost like, okay, 3, 2, 1, pop the cup.
And go.
The cup. Right. It was
funny.
Awesome. It was great. So all right, we're here to talk about April Fools, and it's going to be in September when we release it. So yeah, baby. No, it's not one of those things that, like, you know, it's not like, you know, Christmas movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a movie that I think that Chris and I are the only two that haven't seen this movie.
Yeah, let's get into it. So first of all, Jordan, was this your choice, or did we pick this?
I think I mentioned it last time,
okay.
And then everyone was like, "Okay, let's try to do this movie then."
All right, because it certainly reeks of the '80s, even if it wasn't from the '80s. It's like Night of the Comet. It kind of smells of the '80s. The whole like kind of the privileged college kid in Reagan times, making boatloads of cash and all that stuff. So I appreciate that. And again, it's a slasher. It's a not a proto slasher, but certainly in that vein of 80s film. So let's get into it. So we have April Fool's Day up for the today's show. As Jay and I say, usually we go at this point, we say, you know, what's your history with this movie? I have not seen the movie. No, check that. I remember seeing it, but I don't remember anything about it. So it must have been a while ago. I thought Evil Eddie from Fright Night was in this movie. And he's not. I thought Chaz was Evil Eddie, and he's not. I knew what the premise was. I don't remember if I actually saw this. So I'm going to say I never saw this. I probably have seen compilations of this movie in, like, you know, history of horror kind of documentaries. I've watched a bunch of those. So maybe I'm conflating it with something. I don't know. But I definitely have not seen it. Jordan, what's your deal with this movie? How many times have you seen it? When did you see it first time? Tell me about it.
I think I've only seen it once,
okay.
But I saw it about 2 years ago, my freshman year of college, And one night I was like, I am bored out of my mind. Let me just look up cheesy slasher movies from the 80s. And I did.
Okay.
And I ended up watching April Fool's Day on not a free website. Well, free website. Yeah. I always say I'm a bad influence.
A torrent.
I buy something for free on Amazon.
BitTorrent. Okay, what? All right.
And then I sat down and I watched it and I loved it. It was like that cheesy 80s slasher, but not at the same time.
So I think Slumber Party Massacre is a cheesy movie. I don't know if this is cheesy. It's not great, I don't think, but I don't know that it's necessarily cheesy. Slumber Party Massacre, Slumber Party Massacre 2, cheesy. Driller Killer, cheesy. Pieces is cheesy. What's the one with the mall and the robots? Chopping Mall is cheesy. I don't know if this is cheesy. I think it's trying to say something. Whether or not I liked it is another matter. So Jordan watched it when you were bored. And you wanted to find something 80s, and boy, you landed on it. You landed on the 80s movie. So Jason, again, I don't want to speak for you. It seems like you've never seen this, so tell me about this
movie. No, I haven't, but like, you know, I do have a quick little thing to say about it. Back in the day, I had a friend that we used to just always hang out, like it would be all summer long or whatever. I mean, hung out all the time anyway. Didn't matter, summer, but like we would, the thing was going to the video store and getting 80s, you know, like horror movies that we were really like more into. But like, it was funny though, he was always like, yeah, I love Friday the 13th, love this. And sometimes we'd like go nuts, like renting everything, that not all in a row, but like I'm talking one after another, like we return one, rent it. Then all of a sudden it was like, I don't want that, I don't know, looks stupid. Right, like, so like, yeah, he would say stuff like that, and it's like, well, I can't watch it now, because like, I mean, I'm not saying I couldn't by myself, but I'm saying, like, if I rent that and I got, like, a guy complaining in my ear, then I'm not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he's, like, miserable about it or whatever. So, like, it's like, well,
it would be, like, a waste of money then if you went to go rent it.
Yeah, it's hard to, like fully, you know, feel at ease watching a movie and enjoying it when someone's, like, miserable about it. So, I always bypassed it, and it's like I saw the box cover, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll move on to something else. So,
All right, Melanie.
I don't remember the first time I saw it. I've just always seen it.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, I've just always been aware of it. I've always watched it, and whenever it comes on TV, I watch it.
So, how many times have you seen April Fool's Day?
I have no idea.
Like, an uncountable amount of times.
More than 10.
Really?
More than 10.
Probably over all the years, probably, yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I don't remember. It was a few years ago that I was like, oh, my God, I remember this movie. And I started watching it again. And then I showed my kids. And one thought it was so funny. She was laughing through the whole thing. And the other one was like, I don't get it. I don't think it's that funny.
All right. We're going to talk about April Fool's Day. So let's get into the IMDb breakdown, see what they have to say about this, and the litany of actors that are in this movie that I've never heard of, except for the guy from Back to the Future. So, April Fool's Day, 1986.
Wilson,
Rated R, coming in at a brisk 1 hour and 29 minutes. I love it. So here's the deal. 9 college students staying at a friend's remote island mansion begin to fall victim to an unseen murderer over the April Fool's Day weekend. But nothing is as it seems. Directed by Fred Walton. Written by Danilo Bach. Starring Deborah Foreman. Deborah Foreman, Griffin O'Neill, Clayton Roner, Jay Baker, Pat Barlow, Lloyd Barry, Deborah Goodrich, and so on and so forth. I don't recognize... Oh, and Tom Wilson. Sorry, can't forget Tom Wilson. So, here's the thing. Can I just go to the tagline for a minute? They make it sound like April Fool's Day is something that everybody gets together for. Like fucking Thanksgiving. Hey guys, what are you doing for April Fool's Day? Like, shut up. Not, what are you talking about?
And I would like to point out that how many people after the first gag keep going? Oh man, it's like, let's put it this way. I wouldn't hang out with them if they did. Like, I'd be like, this guy won't leave he won't leave it alone.
Right.
He's freaking constantly doing gags. And everyone loves the gag with an accidental knifing.
Yes. That's a good way to make friends, I find. Yeah. Yes.
There's something that doesn't make sense to me about that, though. I was thinking about it, right? Because, like, Arch, which I think is super funny. I love Arch and Chaz. So he, like, was he was in on the knife gag with Skip, which is Muffy's brother. So he was in on that gag. Okay, and the guy fell in the water. All right, so then they're all like, oh my God, he's gonna die, you know, whatever. So then the next thing you know, the other guys jumped in to go save him. And that's how that guy ended up in the water, that he was going to be like, oh, well, I'm already down here. I might as well tie the rope on the dock thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if Arch wasn't in on that trick, like he wasn't in on that, you know, crushing the guy with the boat up against the dock thing and it looked like his eye was hanging off.
Yeah.
And stuff. He was in on the knife trick. But, like, how? I mean, I don't understand. Like, nobody would have ended up in the water to begin with if Arch wasn't in on that trick. You know what I mean? But he's not in on the other stuff.
Are you trying to tell me that there are holes in the logic of this
movie?
There
are a lot of holes, yes.
Are you trying to tell me that?
There's a ton of them.
All right, well, Jordan, give me another hole in the logic. Do you have one that comes to mind?
Mine just would have been that one.
Okay.
But really? You got a tattoo.
Where, like, people were always like, oh my gosh, someone else just died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then they would also be a part of the joke as well. Like, yeah. Their reaction seemed a little bit too real and it didn't seem like it was playing. Except, was it Amy Steele's character that was the only person who wasn't on it?
Yes.
Was it Amy?
And the other guy.
Oh, no, none of them were on it, actually. None of them were on it until they got killed. So as soon as they get killed, then they got brought in on the gag.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
So they were the last two that solved
so
the thing.
Wait a minute. Rewind.
Go ahead and ask me anything.
No,
I know this.
Wait a minute. Because that to me was one of the big flaws in this. And I'm sorry if I didn't pick it up. So you're telling me that no one was aware of the gag.
No.
Except for Muffy / Buffy, which is really just Muffy.
Muffy and her brother Skip.
Skip.
They were the ones that did it because they, like she said at the end, she got that house as, what do you call it?
Inherited.
Like, inheritance.
Yes.
And so they were like, you can't, unless you can prove that you can afford the taxes and take care of this house and the upkeep, we're not going to give it to you. So she had to come up with some sort of plan. So she was going to turn it into bed and breakfast, but it wasn't going to be any kind of bed and breakfast. It was going to have, like, you know, that kind of like a spooky whodunit type of thing.
A pre-escape room.
She brought all of her friends there to do this to, and literally none of them were in on any of it until they died. So when the person would come, so this is a huge thing because she's so stupid. She could have gotten killed 1,000 times because one of them even had a gun. And so like literally even when Arch was hanging off of the tree, when he was hanging down, she even said, I didn't account for the snake. Sorry about that. But when he sees Boots coming up to him, he thinks, oh my God, I'm going to get killed. And then they're like, ha, April Fool's Day, we're in on the gag, and now you have to play along. So let's make a mold of your face, and let's do this and that, and like we're going to freak out the other people who haven't, who we haven't killed off yet. So she was basically trying to see who would last to the longest and who would figure out what was going on. Like, who would not figure out what was going on, but figure out, like, with all the clues that she was leaving, because it was supposed to be like a mystery type of thing. That was the whole point of it. So nobody was aware of what was going on literally until their character got killed and then they brought him in on the gag.
So wait a minute.
And she even explained this at the end as well.
So, okay, go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, I was just going to say, same thing with like the boots, because they never show the person actually getting killed. So that's when it was like, so you see the boots, he screams, and like that's like the end of the scene. So then...
Yeah.
The audience doesn't really know, at least when I did it, the audience is not supposed to know.
Yeah.
But then that would have been the part where after that happened, then they would have been like, oh, haha, like, it's just a joke, like, I'm not actually going to kill you, but we're going to make it look like I just killed you. But they don't show that part to the audience, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so I will counter with, what I want to counter with that in terms of the flawed logic, if I... were invited to a very nice place for the weekend with my friends, and these small pranks that we were playing on each other, which they all started innocent and then they kind of grow, which I appreciated about the movie. It started from something mundane to something that suddenly you realize these murders are actually the prank. By the way, spoiler alert, nobody dies. But so to
the
me,
movie just came out, man, in 1986. What are you talking about?
I know. But to
spoiling
me,
it for everyone.
I don't mean to sound realistic, and I know if anybody said this, the movie's over, but it's like the moment I'm hung upside down by my foot and somebody says, oh, this is really funny, I'm like, fuck you guys. I'm out of here. No, I'm all set. I don't want to be part of this. This is very dangerous. I'm very scared. I don't think this is very funny at all. And certainly the prank that you're playing on my friends that are going to cost hundreds of dollars in therapy over many, many years, I don't think that's a real friendly way to go. And even though they are all basically interchangeable white privileged characters that I can't really tell the difference between, it seems like they don't not like each other. It's not like anybody has it in for any.
Man, I couldn't stand her, and I don't think any of them.
No, I'm saying
her
between each other. I didn't like any of them because I just didn't like them. I didn't think they possessed any positive attributes that I wanted to be involved in. But the fact of the matter is, like, they don't. That's terrible. They're terrible friends. They're worse friends than the friends on Friends.
They thought it was pretty funny though after they were brought in on it, and they're young. I mean, they're in college. They're super young. I mean, they're going to think it's funny. I honest to God, if that was happening to me and my friend was like, ha, 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 guess what? I would be in on it as well. Like, I think it would be funny. I wouldn't be.
Yeah, but Melanie.
I think the worst thing is the person at the end.
But then your friend would start to say, cry hysterically, and then I would feel terrible.
Well, yes, for sure. Yes.
I would feel
terrible.
And she went
too far on that gag on Nan, because I don't know why, if you were a friend of that girl, why you would put a baby recording in her closet, apparently, if she had just had an abortion or a miscarriage or whatever. I think she said abortion. That's a horrible, horrible thing.
Right.
She could have put anything else. I would have thrown hands. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, but it's also just a movie. But, like, yeah, I could see, Chris, like, where you'd be like, yeah, I'd be upset. I feel like in certain cases, certain those pranks, I would not be happy. Yeah.
Like, think about it.
Like... Yeah, certain ones. If you saw somebody crying, get really upset, you couldn't. I don't think you could keep going with that.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm.
Think about this for a minute, guys. Like, not this movie. Just. Let's just say somebody plays a prank. You're walking, you're in a dark parking lot, and they chase you with a ski mask and a big knife, and they start running, true. Right? And then all of a sudden they're like, ha ha, April Fools, buddy. Yeah. And it's like, no.
No.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think any age.
That's true.
I'm not sure any age would have been acceptable. Like,
no.
I wouldn't have been like, I'm in college.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? This is what I was thinking, though. Like, when Chaz and Nikki were together, like, she had just fallen in a well, and she had seen all of these dead bodies. So that's proof that these people are dead that went missing. And Arch was Chaz's friend. They were all friends. But then he's laying on the bed, joking around about sex and having a little mask on and whatever. I'm like, I do not think that you would be there. If you were really stuck in a house and your friend was dead in that well, are you going to be like, oh, come on, Nikki.
Yeah.
Come on, let's have a little sex. Like, no,
guys,
I don't think so. Like,
I want to add to that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
No, go.
Ahead, hold on to it.
No, mine's totally off. Go.
Okay, so my whole thing is, I know that we wouldn't have a movie, but, but since we're poking fun at some of the logic, my whole thing is I would have an issue with just the fact that the boat just hit a guy and his eye popped out. Like, later on you find out that was a joke, but while you're eating dinner for the first night, I wouldn't be smiling about anything.
I'd be traumatized.
Even if Chaz fell over with his chair. I know, but a guy is missing an eye. I would think about.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the hospital. He's missing an eye. But okay, I have a couple things on that too. If you were just having that joke for one thing, why are you going to smash into the dock? That's some like damage and that costs a lot of money. Second of all, you can't stick that kind of special effects makeup on you in like 5 seconds by yourself in the water.
Right.
Third of all,
yes.
When Skip is being killed and supposedly killed in the shed when he goes down there by himself at the end of the night, why are we seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a joke on the guests that are in that house.
Right.
And Skip is in on that joke. So why are we seeing yet another cat in a horror movie get thrown at somebody?
Yeah.
And it looks like this guy is getting killed when this is only for us. Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
That's where I was getting at with the logic before you, Jordan, and you, Melanie, this, you know, explain that we don't actually see any of the murders. So that kind of absolves us from seeing the actual, like, you know, you can't get killed and then come back. So, all right, fine, I get that. But there are a lot of shots in this movie where I know the audience is supposed to be getting tricked as well, which is kind of a neat idea if you can pull it off. Like, it's a neat idea.
I was tricked the whole movie.
Yeah.
Until
But my point is there are several shots in this that don't belong if that's what you're going for. Like, there's a lot of things that happen where there it doesn't make sense, and I can't even think of one, but it doesn't make sense that we're seeing this shot right now if the two people in the frame know this is all fake. So I don't.
Yeah.
That's what I had a problem with, and I get it. Like, it's just leading us along. You know, whatever. Unless. It's fine. But yeah, unless.
Unless it's done for, like, if somebody happened to be nearby witnessing him, like, being in the shed.
That they weren't. Like,
yeah, I think, no. They were, like,
still all
now. No.
Yeah. And also, they made it sound like...
The setup. Guys. I meant the setup for that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning, I know that we know that nobody was there. I'm talking about... The people who are setting up the joke, the prank, not the writers of the movie. I'm talking about Muffy and her brother. Maybe they're doing it to say, okay, we're going to eliminate you now.
Yeah.
But we have to do it even if nobody sees it. Like, you know what I mean? Like you know, just in case someone's nearby and they see it. I don't know. That's just my only guess. My first time seeing it, you know, like I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's funny that in this gorgeous Victorian house with all this china and fancy silver candlesticks that she doesn't have champagne glasses or plastic. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, if she went through all the trouble of setting up this entire house and all this work and she's serving hot dogs and beans.
Yeah. Also,
with napkins.
She just can't cook.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. And I got to tell you, that is some of the clearest champagne I've ever seen in my life. It's water, basically.
Very water.
Very water.
She's trying to save. Trying to save.
Oh, yeah. You know,
she's going to make a profit.
I think, though, I think maybe, I don't know if it was on the writer's part, but there was a ton of characters. So I wonder if while the writers were making it, they could have, like, forgotten one thing of it, and that's why there's a lot of holes. There's just so many characters you got to keep track of. Okay, who just died? Who was in on this? Yeah. So maybe,
well, that's not my problem. That's their problem. They gotta get their shit together. That's not my problem that you can't write.
But hey guys, that's why there was no sequel.
I feel like with the ending, there was nowhere to be a sequel because it gave it all away.
They actually were gonna make one. I have some stuff on that on trivia.
Oh, God.
What was it gonna be about? Like,
I'll tell you.
Okay.
I have that in there. Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know
what part I thought was really cute? I love the part where Arch and Chaz is in the backyard giving the tour. That's just one of my cute things, and I love the interaction between all the characters when they were on the ferry too.
Sure.
Remind me of the tour.
Oh my God, it was so funny. So Arch is in the background and Chaz is like pretending he's like this big film person the way he's standing and recording him. And he's like, and he was talking about, I'm Mary something. I forgot what he said his name was. And this is my lovely home. You know, like just a little.
Prior to the, we've talked about the meat of the movie. Like, you know, the fact that it's a prank, you know, like, and nobody's actually dead at the end. Also, let's go back to the boat a little bit. Are you going to play a game with your friend where you lean and try to grab a knife? That's like stuck in the like stuck in the wood.
Yeah, where you like I don't do some,
like it was like some weird thing where it's like sort of reach out like without falling, but it's like there's a sharp blade.
Right? Yeah.
It's like I'd rather not get
stuck in the dock, and then also when it was a retractable thing too. I don't get that.
Oh, I thought it was just a regular knife. Like at that point.
No, because when he got out, didn't he go like this with a knife because it was retractable?
I don't know.
But then I was like, well, how did it stick in the dock like you just said?
What if he switched knives though, and it's like they're identical?
Oh, maybe.
What I mean is, who plays a game? The way they're going to reach out. That's, if you're not in on a joke, I'm not reaching out for a knife on the dock. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I can stretch better than you, and then falling into it, it's like, no, I'm good. I'd like to keep all the skin.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe what they're trying to do, and again, I don't want to give this movie more credit than it should, because spoiler alert, I didn't like it a lot. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was kind of a non-starter. I wasn't really intrigued very much at all. I was kind of bored with it, actually. But again, that doesn't mean it's a bad movie. To me, it was just kind of a nothing. But that's more on that later. I'm not going to say it's bad. And I'm not going to say it's good either. I just didn't really get into it. But the bottom,
think it's a hit or miss. I think it really depends. Like, I saw a lot of people who've never heard of it. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Well, it does have a cult following, and I just kept going, why? And again, it's not that it's bad or good. I just never, it never got me. It never hooked me at all. So it was kind of like, oh, yeah. Let's see. It's a little boring. But besides that, forgetting that I think it's kind of average at best.
Yeah.
Let's think about what the filmmakers are trying to do. They're trying to make us go along with the trick in a movie is laden with, we're playing a trick on somebody, but we can't let the audience know. But also the audience is going in with the presupposition that it's a slasher, and slashers have a formula. Stupid kids do stupid things and then get punished because of it. And so we are falling into the trap of the slasher. They're all going to do dumb shit, like play with a knife, like hook up with other people, like be privileged. Now, the fact that they're privileged makes us want to like have them punished, you know, because that's what these slasher movies are for, like punish those that are better off or think they're better than other people. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, maybe that helps us as the audience, if you bought into the central premise, which I'm not saying I 100% did, but it helps you to sell it. So is this movie kind of meta in its way that it is assuming that the audience is coming in with, I mean, it's called April Fool's Day, so you know there's pranks, but you're still waiting for teenagers to get knocked off, and you're waiting for there to be a final girl, and there is, and you're waiting for people to be found, you know, dead in a well, and we buy it, even when it goes from simple pranks to very elaborate pranks. The fact that we're going in with this preconceived notion helps us to sell the story, which also, to Jordan's point, takes some pressure off the writers to actually make it be good. You know what I mean? Because, well, they're going to think this anyway, so let's just go with it. And then after that, you know, the burden is then going to be, we have to sell it. And to me, it wasn't sold hard enough, but for me to care. Again, I'm not saying it's bad or good. Like, I'm not angry about this movie. There are a lot of movies where I watch, I'm mad I watched it. It's like, oh my God, it's so fucking stupid, I can't. Like, I'm not saying that. It didn't hook me ever. And that's kind of the downside. So anyway, any thoughts on, I just kind of thought of that now. Like, do you think that's valid? Like, are we going with that it's a slasher and there have been so many that this is what happens or what? Am I nuts or what do you think?
Well, I kind of, because I fell in, I guess, halfway through the movie, I forgot it was called April Fool's Day.
Okay.
Like, you know, I got with the regular pranks and stuff.
Okay.
But then it just turned into, like, a slasher. So,
right.
I didn't know. Maybe it's because I wasn't paying attention too much. I don't know. But I didn't know that everybody wasn't dead until the very end where it was told, oh, it's all a big joke. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I had to put my phone down, like, did I miss something? But for me, like, it was more, okay, it starts off with, you know, the April Fool's Day, you know, kids playing pranks on each other. And then, because I've seen a lot of movies where it is like that, and then, like, the slasher comes in out of nowhere. So I guess then I was just assuming it, like, it just went from, you know, kids playing pranks to now, you know, killings
and
like, whole slasher movie. So then I didn't associate, oh, maybe these killings aren't real. I never associated it with that.
Right.
Which, I mean, good for the writers, but also there was a lot of, like, plot holes and stuff.
But I don't know. Like, it seems to me that's what it's kind of banking on a little bit. That we're going to think it's all going to go south quick and there's going to be some final thing, you know? I don't know.
One thing I got to say, I never once felt like, maybe it was the lack of like the type of music that would be associated, if there was. I don't know. I don't remember it. I never felt that angst or you know, like, I was never nervous of any, but it was like, here they go, there they die. You know, like, it was just like nothing felt, you know, like, you know, like, it felt like almost like there was no stakes. Like like the people who are coming, like, they're dying. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's like three down. All right. What's next? it was a chill horror movie. Like, it's not a horror. I know that. It ends, like, you know, goofy and comedy-like. But it never once like made me feel like the way Friday the 13th Part 2 made me feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah. It's because you didn't see anyone get killed.
That's, yeah, I was going to add to that. Yeah, like, you don't see anybody getting killed, and you don't see the slasher. Like, you don't see the person who's actually killing it. Whether you see the face or not, you don't see any of that. Mm-hmm. Which I think added to the fact of why it's like a...
Well, that could actually be scarier. Because actually, if you think about it, Part 2 of Friday the 13th, they don't show Jason until they show the guy wearing the pillow sack, like the burlap sack over his head.
Yeah.
In like literally the last like 20 minutes. He's chasing after the
That's true. That's true. But you know going into it what the movie's going to be if you saw the first one.
Right. But I'm saying there was no eerie aspect of this.
Yeah. The whole time you assume, oh, maybe it's not Jason. Maybe somehow like Mama Voorhees. Well, no, her head got cut off. But,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know what I mean? That's pretty like, final.
Yeah.
You kind of know like, oh, like there has to be another killer to this. You just don't know who.
Yeah.
But you know, since it's a sequel, it's going to kind of be along the same, you know, campy.
Right. Yeah. No, I just, my whole thing was like, I never felt like it was scary. Like, am I alone there? Or?
No. That's kind of why I was bored with it.
Campy is the perfect word.
What's that?
What, campy?
I said campy is like the literal perfect word for that.
I don't know. I agree 100% with campy. Not that I would disagree with that. I
totally think so.
I don't know that it's... Camp is like the tragically comic or the comically tragic. You know, like when a clown dies. Sorry, that's from The Simpsons. So the... remember that, Jay? That's from the John Waters episode.
I know
episode.
The line.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes, like when a clown dies.
That'll make your bull run.
But yeah, I think, and here's the thing, I felt a little deflated. And again, you've heard me bitch about movies. I'm not saying this is a failure. I don't think it's a failure.
No. It's not for everyone.
I don't even think like I just like it was trying hard. I think to Jason's point, I read some of the reviews on IMDb because I was looking at the Wikipedia because again, I thought Evil Eddie was in this movie, so I was really like searching around. I'm like, I know he's in this fucking movie. He's not.
Jordan's probably like, who's Evil Eddie?
Evil Eddie's from Fright Night. You're so cool, Brewster. But anyhow,
have you seen Fright Night?
I've seen it. Yeah,
yeah, it's
I
so saw good.
He's right. The he's the geeky guy that like becomes a vampire eventually.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's Evil Eddie. Like,
lives next door or something. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So but anyhow, so and I'm watching, and they said like. I'm looking at the IMDb like reviews of like people that watched it, and it's like, oh, creepy. Like I never got creepy ever. Like there was, I didn't get any. They were saying like, I was waiting for creepy scenes or suspenseful. I didn't even get suspenseful, and that is. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a little.
But not creepy. There was no like horror aspect to it.
I was just kind of waiting for the next thing to happen. Like, so I didn't get any ominous... I think I'm with Jay. Like, never felt ominous to me at any point. I just thought something was going to happen. Oh, they're at the well. I wonder what's going to happen at the well. Oh, someone's going to... Like, something bad is going to happen at the well.
Okay,
like,
but by the way, guys.
Jay.
No, who climbs down the freaking well of something you've never seen before? You've never seen this well. You have no idea how old these bars are.
It's like your typical 80s slasher horror movie. Like you're gonna have dumb kids.
Oh no, no! But I'm gonna point out their stupidity.
Don't you worry.
That could have got them really hurt. She's trying to play jokes on people, but literally falling in a well could have got her super hurt.
Yeah.
And who did she drag up out of the water? Was that an actor pretending to be dead?
The Nan was in there, and I think she really was in there because that was not a cast, but then there were some heads in there. Like, so wait a minute. Head was in
you
there.
You have the lady who's in the well is not in on the joke, and she grabs her friend's corpse and doesn't realize. Yeah. By the way, corpses, even if you're in water, corpses are cold. Mm-hmm. They're very cold, and they're stiff. And I don't care when you got killed. Like, you're going to tell that there's a dead person in your arms.
I don't think they're so stiff in the water, though.
No, like, but
here's still, how long they've been in
the,
there.
But the person's going to be the temperature of the water. Thermodynamics. The person's going to be the temperature of the water, and you're going to know that person's dead because they're as cold as the water. So that's bullshit.
Well, I mean, maybe if you're just, like, freaking out because you think you see a dead person, like... You know what I mean? Maybe she just wasn't the brightest. Like me, what, I was.
It's like head stewed.
If the person that's supposed to be dead in the well is just in on the joke now, like, huh? Like how? What? You? That's the worst joke ever.
Yeah.
It's the worst joke ever. And also, the people that were supposed to be dead, you could tell they were breathing. Can I just say, I looked at the guy that I thought was Evil Eddie. What's his name? Clay.
Chaz.
He was lying there on the bed, and I saw his chest going up and down. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Is that
well,
me?
Because that's me whenever she was told.
Yeah. Well, like whenever I see a movie, I always look at the actor to be like, "Are you breathing? Are you a good enough actor to hold your breath right now?" Mm-hmm. That's always me whenever I look at it, and I did catch that a few times, and I was like. Maybe he's either a bad actor or something's up.
I saw that. Also, why is the sheriff guy really in the hospital making that phone call if he's in on the gas?
Thank you.
Yeah, another hole in the plot. Yeah.
I need you.
He doesn't
to
really
go,
need to be there.
Go to the mainland.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Go to the mainland, and I want you to like make the. We're gonna call you from there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
because
it's only believable if you're actually in the freaking hospital.
Yeah.
Sorry. And,
he could call from anywhere. He could have called from the car. He could, well, not really.
They make this,
he could have called from his house.
They make this island seem like it's Amity Island, like it's Martha's Vineyard. It's just like in a river off the coast. If something happened, and, oh, no, they're not coming back till Friday. If you call them, there was a murder. Someone's going to come out on a boat to that house. Second of all. If you know there's a murder, you're going to swim. You're going to do the best you can because it's not the English fucking channel. It's like a river. So stop it. Even if it's cold, you're
going to
get
it. Okay. It's supposed to be Martha's Vineyard. It's supposed to be Martha's Vineyard.
No, it's not supposed to be that far
away.
Yes,
it is. And if you freaking listen.
I didn't pay attention to what's to April Fool's Day. It's not 2001 A Space Odyssey. Go ahead.
No, when you in the beginning, first of all, I already know that they were supposed to make it in Martha's Vineyard, and they ended up actually making it in Vancouver area, British Columbia. And I know that because I looked up the land after, which was for sale at the time that I looked at it and wanted to live there because it's gorgeous. But anyway, but they're saying that it's basically Martha's Vineyard because that's where the Kennedy's compound is. And when he goes and he comes, oh, goes, oh my God, we're home. And he's looking at the view. She says, on a clear day, you can see the Kennedys from here.
But there are mountains.
That's right, because it's actually Canada. But
no,
they're pretending.
But then it's not in the middle of the ocean then, because you can see mountains. The land is right there. Swim to the land.
Let's also wait. Let's be careful, because like, you know how cold it is around here?
Okay.
No, in April. I don't know if I'd want to jump in any water. No,
but you're
that's
right.
That's like post winter.
So they could have swam to the mountain.
She had to go back to the mansion to get the keys.
Oh, they have that little boat.
For the boat. So even if you can't get the keys for the boat, you get in the boat, you push
and
off,
paddle.
And you just float there until the morning. And if anybody's coming out to get you like a serial killer, you'll see them coming.
Yeah, except she didn't.
And you know what, how hard it is to get up into a boat? You just wait. Like,
But see, that's why they didn't take it too seriously, which I thought, like, worst comes to worst, you guys all go in a room and you lock the door and put furniture in front of it. But they didn't do that. They were like, she was so scared, Nikki. Why is she just crabbing and bitching and walking back and forth by herself, getting her clothes, whatever, like nothing can get her. And like there, and then he's in the room by himself, laying on the bed with a mask on. And then the door is wide open for anybody to really come in and kill him. Like, and he's joking around about having sex and whatever, like. It's like none of them took it seriously after seeing dead bodies in the well and knowing that their friends were in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So before we do TMI, let's talk about like how quickly everybody turned the corner once it was exposed at the absolute end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, also, I mean, yeah, like, and by the way, your friend from college has, you're the host. He now has your severed head, and he's doing lewd sex acts with it while dancing around.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's pretty awful.
Yep.
Like, and you're just like, call that,
No, that's
kids.
Funny.
Kids.
And I don't think any of this stuff would have worked either, because not only because, like, those people could have got hurt, she was playing the jokes on, but there's no way in hell the person doing the jokes wouldn't have gotten hurt, because just in the dining room alone, I would have picked up a dining room chair and smashed her up against the head.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because she's got a knife and she's acting like she's going to kill you. What are you mm-hmm. going to do? Like,
right.
I mean, there could have been so many instances. And like I said, one guy had a gun. Remember, he put it in his pants, that mm-hmm. Harvey guy.
Can I?
Yeah, you know, it's not like what Kit did, though. Didn't she try to attack? Didn't she try to attack Muffy? Or, right? And then
she took it on a run or something. And I'm like, just pick up something and smash it her head. And you're like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
hey, as long as she turns a profit, I guess.
Guys, can I just say before we do TMI, and I thought of this, and I know I've thought of it before, and I never mentioned it, but there's a lot of instances in film where the person takes the gun and then stuffs it in the back of their pants, and yes. then they run around a lot, and then they still have the gun there. I'm not going to say, oh, Andrew Fred, the gun's going to go off. Isn't the gun going to slip down? Like into a leg or into your crotch or something. Like they did this yeah. shit all the time on Lost. They're always putting their guns like, and you see,
yep.
I don't think that's viable. You'd have to have some pretty tight pants for that gun not to slip out either out of your pants or down into your pants. That's Am I wrong?
True. Well, you know, they had tighty whiteys back then. Thank God. They
I
got
noticed.
Those.
Oh, I noticed.
I was like, oh my God, please. Like, I can't even look at that without laughing because it looks like a diaper. I don't know how you guys used to wear those. But I was like, thank God those are gone. But yes, they had their tidy whities and their little leather belts and all that. So maybe that stuff would have kept it in there pretty good. I don't know.
I'm just going to carry this around. I'm not going to put it back here. It's going to fall out. I'm just going to carry it around.
Yeah, you're better off in your pocket.
Seriously, like in the front pocket. Yeah, yeah. It's a small gun. It's not this.
You can reach down
again. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bullshit.
Well, let's also mention the last scene, the weird little like coda, if you will, like you know
at the
which
very,
she's upstairs.
Very
yeah, you yeah. could you do describe it better probably, Melanie, because you've seen this movie 100 times or you know.
So when she goes upstairs and she sees the gift and she opens it up and it's a little Jack in the Box and she's winding it up and then Nan is behind her and jumps and pretending she's slitting her throat and she goes crazy and then she realizes it's not real and then Nan smiles at her.
And there was like also a history of this Jack in the Box or a Jack in the Box where like a monster popped out. Mm-hmm. Like they never went
for
into
her
that.
When she was a little girl, I don't get
they
that.
Never went into that. She's looking, smiling, like longingly at it, and then thinks back and like, this was actually kind of scary because this evil thing popped out.
Yeah,
and it was just like
hey guys,
it was a weird thing that they never went back to. Like,
hey guys,
why show this at all?
Yeah,
you're never gonna revisit it.
You ever get a paper cut? Have you ever gotten a paper cut? You guys gotten a paper cut, right?
Oh, yeah, good job.
You know the paper is cutting your finger when you get a paper cut, right?
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure that if someone were
still healing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if someone were slitting your neck, you would know that they're actually slitting
your
neck.
You wouldn't have to check. You wouldn't have to
check. Oh my God.
I thought the same thing because she's like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, why would you even think you're not? I don't get that.
Then it was 100% meta because she looked at the camera.
Yeah,
and said,
great.
And said April Ooh. Fools.
Yeah.
No, but she looked right at the camera.
Yeah,
so it was like, wait, like so she's like, you know, breaking the fourth wall. So you know, you gotta you know give it some props for originality. Nobody ever did anything like that this movie.
That's
before.
True. Yeah. That's true. So all right.
You know? I also like the song they played at the end.
Oh yeah.
Too bad you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that one. Yeah, I thought you meant the dance song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many words for crazy in that song.
It's time for TMI with Melanie.
Listen to this. I am in the bathroom right before the movie starts.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in the stall and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah. Mine are at home in a display case above my bed.
Yeah.
TMI. TMI, my friends.
TMI? Too much information. Don't go there, but that's lame.
Now, here's Melanie with your timeless movie info.
Chris is laughing again. He loves this.
I friggin' love say it's, but that's lame. I love that. He says that so well. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Melanie, okay. Fool us.
Okay. Yeah, the budget was $5 million and it only grossed $13 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. Due to the film being light on violence, it received frequent airings on late night television. That's probably where I saw it for the first time, where it gained a large cult following. One of the three horror films from 1986 that takes place on April Fool's Day, the others being Killer Party 1986 and Slaughter High 1986, which I don't know if I've seen any of those at all. But
I think that was with George Clooney.
I think I saw Slaughter High. I think that might have been
I think I saw Slaughter High.
Isn't that George Clooney?
Really? Is he in that? I'll have to look at it.
He's in one of those high movies. Like, it's either there's like Horror High and Slaughter High. They really went out of their way. Like, yeah, you know, for the original titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. While the crew was lighting a scene, Deborah Goodrich began reading a Cosmopolitan questionnaire, the magazine, to her co-stars, which started a huge conversation, and it caught the attention of the director, Fred Walton. A few days later, Walton handed Goodrich the magazine and a new set of questions and asked the actresses to improvise a scene, which would end up in the final cut. So he made up those questions. That's kind of gross.
All right.
Just to see what they know, and it was ad-libbed or whatever.
Okay.
The cast assembled at a hotel in Vancouver, British Columbia, just prior to filming and began hanging out to make it more believable that they were actually friends, except for Harvey. They had a hard time finding the actor to play Harvey, so Jay Baker was cast last, which worked out well since Harvey's character was rather an outsider. At the film's beginning, Griffith O'Neill Skip's character is blamed for a prank-turned-accident that leaves a ferryman disabled and disfigured. In a bizarre case of life imitating art, O'Neill was indicted on manslaughter charges for the following year for a drug-induced boating mishap that resulted in the death of Francis Ford Coppola's son, Giancarlo Coppola.
Wow.
That's
terrible.
A year later. Yeah. All right. All right. When they began shooting the dinner party scene, there was no collective energy whatsoever, and the scene was flat. When they broke for lunch, Walton scolded the cast, and when they returned to film the rest of the scene, everybody stepped up their game. Amy Steele Kitt, at one point, was approached by the producer, who voiced concerns that she had gained weight since filming had started. And Amy's response was, "Well, you hired an amazing caterer. Whose fault is that?"
That's funny. Oh, that craft service table. How do you say no?
And, you know, it's like you hear that in so many 80s movies. Mm-hmm. Like, they're always, you know, it's horrible. The interior of the well scene was shot in a tank on an L.A. soundstage at the end of production. The water was dyed to look murky, and the crew members discarded their cigarettes right into the tank. Deborah Goodrich, Nikki, spent so much time submerged in that nasty water that she left the set with an ear infection.
Nice.
We always hear stuff like that, too, always happening. Like,
yep.
During the 30th anniversary reunion, Deborah Goodrich, Nikki, said that she was sent a script for the sequel several years after the film's release. Though it was sketchy on details, she couldn't recall the names of the two writers. The story found Chaz and Nikki, who had got married, buying a closed-down porno theater on 42nd Street in New York that planned to turn it into a bed and breakfast, but one of Chaz's college-age relatives arrived for a visit and all these games began all over again. So they were trying to do that way. So it never got, obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's all thank the Lord.
Yeah, thank you for that. Jesus.
Yeah, that would have been kind of bad.
No, but like, because sequels, I'm sorry, just real quick. Sequels sometimes take any power away from the original. Like so what I mean is, if this movie, even though it's not phenomenal, we can at least love it by itself because like, we can say, all right, like, you know, good idea. It was nice, you know, whatever. Nice attempt, original. And it did what it did. And, they didn't try to bastardize it with, like, a million sequels.
Yeah.
Because that makes it worse.
Mm-hmm. It does. It totally does. The film originally had a much longer and more twisted ending. Then in the original script, after Muffy reveals the whole weekend was a setup, the guests leave except for Rob, Kit, and Chaz, and Nikki, who sneak back into the house to prank Muffy for revenge. However, when they return, Skip cracks and attempts to kill Muffy for real in a jealous rage because she got left the house. Rob jumps in and saves Muffy, killing Skip in the process. The ending was actually filmed but didn't make the final cut as the studio wanted a more upbeat conclusion. This ending is identical to how the book plays out.
There's a book?
So there's a book?
There's a book.
Boy, she just dropped a knowledge bomb on us. We were like,
Jesus
wait, what?
Christ.
Yeah. Wait a minute, I might actually try to buy that.
Yeah.
The Hollywood Squares, just like, it was like, wait, like, what? Like, all of us, this is like, all our mouths just like hit the floor. This is a book?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, I have a little bit on the book. It says, this is after this, but it says, Paramount executives didn't like the infamous deleted third act. They felt that the movie should end on a higher note. However, producer Frank Menz, you know, I can't pronounce anybody's name, Mancuso Jr. Yeah. insisted on tacking, they insisted that they he still left a Jack in the Box ending, which was shot in L.A. months after production had wrapped, and apparently that's why their hair is different.
He's the connected to Friday the 13th. Frank Mancuso Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
He's a producer, yeah.
So, yeah, so he insisted that the Jack in the Box ending stayed, you know, he wanted that ending in there, even though it was supposed to, it was kind of just supposed to, I guess, end with that ending that I told you, but then they had changed it to they were just going to have it end at the party scene, but then he wanted that Jack in the Box after. He's like, no, I want to put that in there. The novelization by Jeff Rovin, that's the novel.
Holy moly.
Differs from the film. Just a few examples. The reason that Rob is late to the ferry is because he was fooling around with a married woman at a motel nearby and had to rush.
Shocking.
This is why his fly was unzipped on the ferry. Nikki and Hal.
Jesus, that's stupid. Okay.
Nikki and Hal give into their love-hate attraction and then actually have sex later on. Muffy has reoccurring nightmares of somebody trying to kill her. And, of course, the now legendary lost third act and alternate ending, which was actually in the book they had filmed and they cut out. The second film where Deborah Goodrich and Clayton, we said this, Clayton Rohner, mm-hmm. appeared together. They appeared together the year before in Just One of the Guys in 1985, where he was nerdy and she was kind of like, you know, very popular and he liked her. And then they kind of got together at the end of the prom. There are two references to Friday the 13th Part 2, 1981, which Amy still starred in. A cat we were talking about scares Skip, basically thrown at his head. Just before he dies. Yeah. And then also in Friday the 13th Part 2, Arch gets hung upside down by a rope, just like Scott in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Those stairs almost looked like the Friday the 13th Part 2 stairs. You know, the one with the guy going down with
backwards
the
in that wheelchair? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It looked a lot
like you're right.
Probably the same stairs for all we know.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Frank Mancuso Jr.
Yeah.
Once
again. Good point.
That's all I have.
I was about to say, I looked up the book, and I'm not buying it, because it goes for $90 on eBay.
Nope.
So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know what happened, but I can't find it for anywhere under $70, so I'm not.
Probably not many editions of it, so whoever has it, that's it. They're not reprinting
it. I don't think it'd be that hard, like, to get, like, a small, like, anniversary reprint of stuff that has a cult following. For instance, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was originally a novel, like a book that Cameron Crowe wrote. Now, that movie, throughout the years, has been extremely popular, and people would buy that book now if it were available.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't just put it out there just for some people. They don't have to make a million copies of it.
Yeah.
They could do special edition, it's out for this year, see you later, goodbye, you know, type of thing.
Steal book artistic for $300 for your coffee table.
Well, someone would buy it. You know how you said that was like Fast Times at Ridgemont High was a book first before the movie. So it said novelization. So I looked at it. I'm like, what is the difference between a novel and a novelization? Apparently, a novel would come before the movie, and a novelization comes after.
Yeah.
So that's why he kind of went on and put that third act ending in there and said, okay, this is why his fly was open, you know, because he made up more stuff to put in there.
How about it was just
that would have made it so much better.
I know. Thank goodness. I needed the backstory on the fly.
It's time now. For final judgment. Are you ready to rubber stamp this bitch? Here's the final judgment.
Well, apparently nobody in April Fool's Day got a final judgment because they all lived happily and sexually ever after.
Yeah, that's true. No doubt.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, yeah, I'm gonna go first.
I'm like, just go.
I got a weird relationship with this. I'm gonna say it does not hold up. I'm not going to say it doesn't hold up because it's dripping with the 80s. I'm not a fan of necessarily liking something because of the nostalgia. I just want to know if it holds up. I don't think it doesn't hold up because it's dated. I don't think it doesn't hold up because you solve the whole problem with one cell phone or anything like that. I just don't think it holds up because I think it has the nugget of a good idea. I just don't think it execute. For me personally, this is all opinion now, but opinions are fact. I don't think it executes the plan as well as I would have liked to keep me interested the entire 90 minutes. And So I think it's got a nugget of idea, but if you made this movie like this now, or if you just introduce it to audiences now, they wouldn't feel enough nostalgia because it's not 80s enough to be nostalgic. It's not dripping with 80s. Well, I guess I just said it was, but it's not like so 80s it's disgusting. So like therefore Blush the Boys. People, yeah, like that's so 80s, right? So it's not like that. So people aren't gonna like it for that. And I don't think it executes the plan well enough to hold up. I think what you need to do is remake the movie with the idea. I know there was a direct.
They already did.
I know it was a direct to video. I'm not gonna bother watching it. I think You gotta try again. But the other trouble is that the idea of this movie was redone in The Game. David Fincher's The Game with Michael Douglas. And there's a little bit of Knives Out in it because you don't know. There's a flip at the end. You don't know who the trick is on if you've seen Knives Out. So Knives Out is the more is the brainier version of this, and so is The Game. So it's been kind of done a couple of times. So I don't know if you can remake it well because you already have the idea that's been there with two successful movies. I don't know how successful The Game was, but I know Knives Out was pretty successful. So I'm gonna say no. I don't think it would. I don't think it holds up. For that reason, not because of the 80s-ness. So I'll go Jordan. Your turn.
So I kind of would have to agree with that. As much as I love the movie, I think if it was made now, people would just find it dumb. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Sure. I mean, me when I watch an 80s movie, I know it's going to be cheesy. I know it's going to be dumb. But that was the 80s. Nowadays, if a movie is like that, it's going to get heavily criticized, and it's not going to be demonstrated as, like, a real movie. If that movie was remade, I cannot see it being, like, a box office. I cannot see it going into, like, movie theaters and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it was good for the 80s because of its cheesiness, because of its campiness, because of, you know, you kind of expected it to be, like, a slasher.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I don't feel like those movies are popular anymore. So I think it was better done in the 80s. If it was done any later than that, I feel like it would not hold up, and many people probably would never have heard of it.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Jason.
All right. Yeah, no, I don't think it holds up. I think it's a matter of there's not a lot. Like I said, everything never felt like a horror. I know at the end you find out it's not, but like you still should, I think on the journey, you should feel like it is one. So you should be scared until they tell you not to be. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even, like, in the neighborhood of scared. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, it felt like, you know, I don't know if anybody's seen Meatballs, but there's a scene where Bill Murray keeps going, "It just doesn't matter.
I tell you, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter."
That's how it feels. This whole movie feels like none of this matters. Like, no, just that you get what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to like insult it to anybody who loves it. I'm saying that like everything just had, there was like, oh, all right. You know, Chaz died and this guy died. And, you know, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next.
You know, and yes, you can have that attitude sometimes when you're a slasher fan because that's what you expect. So I'll say it doesn't, and I'll kick it over to Melanie.
Okay, so you guys probably know I love it, and I love it just because I've watched it ever since I was younger, and I don't know, I just like it. I think it's cute. I'm going to say cute. I don't think it's scary in any way. Like I said, when I had my girls watch it, one of them was, like, bored, and the other one was like, oh, it's so cute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she was laughing at all, like, the little cute parts because she had never seen it before, and she thought Chaz and Arch was really funny, and I did too. So when you keep saying if this movie was remade, I kept trying to tell you it was remade, you guys. 2008, April Fool's Day, 2008. So it's not like it's just been remade.
And we still aren't aware of it.
It literally was remade. So it's just a totally different story, though. I was just reading something now, and it was like, April Fool's Day remake kills off the charm of the original slasher. Mm-hmm. So it got criticized because people like the original better.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say no, it does. I mean, I don't think it holds up either. I just because I love it doesn't mean I think it holds up. So no, I don't think it holds up, but I love it and I always will. And, I think it's cute. And I think if you haven't watched it, then, you know, if you like 80s slasher movies or you just like 80s movies in general, then just watch it. Cause I just think you just have to watch it. And I think it's really cute.
Yeah. Check the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something you don't know. I don't think it holds up, but I still love it. But like I said, they did remake it in 2008, and the name is April Fool's Day.
Was it direct to video?
I just remember it was totally different, though. Like, it wasn't the same. I can't remember. I can't remember what it was about. I was trying to find that, but it was a different story. Okay, so basically, a girl named Desiree and her brother Blaine are hosting an April Fool's first day party to introduce a girl named Torrance to their elite society, a group of rich types who enjoy drinking and drugs and country clubs. During the party, one of the young women named Milan is accidentally killed during what should have been an April Fool's gag. The whole thing gets recorded on film. Exactly 1 year later, we see one of the people involved in a tragic gag getting murdered in a swimming pool. So this person said it's kind of like, they're like a mixture between April Fool's Day and I Know What You Did Last Summer type of thing.
I was about to say, I Know What You Did Last April.
Sounds terrible.
So I don't get the rest of it, but I think I saw it. I'm going to have to go look that up now. But people, as I'm reading, they're kind of pissed because they like the first one.
So they'll love our review.
Why would anybody make a new reality? I don't know. And then this one says, "Spies are called." Yeah, so I don't know, like, harmless horror fun. And then somebody said, I didn't mind it as much as I thought it was going to. So I want to watch it now.
I didn't mind it as much as I thought I was going to be really annoyed. But yeah,
they should remake the poster, right, and put that review right. I didn't mind it.
I was going to suck balls, but I guess not.
I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. Yeah.
With quotes, quotation marks right next to that, like as if, you know, like you wouldn't believe the review we got. Hold on.
I mean, like, well, remakes are like a hit or miss, I think. Like, this one was probably a miss. But modern remakes are huge. Like, there was, what was it called? Truth or Dare was remade, and that was a movie.
That was good,
And,
I like that.
What was the other one? Would You Rather was another one that was a
movie. Oh, that was awful.
Both of them were remakes.
Now I'm getting confused.
Were in movie theaters,
Okay, yeah. Oof. The Would You Rather one. Is that the one where they're all sat around in a cave at first?
No, no. Would You Rather is an awful, awful movie where this girl, like, I think it's Brittany Snow, I think is the actress, and she wants to get money. And they're all sitting around, like, doing stuff that they, you know, is going to make you more and more uncomfortable, and it's going to get worse. And the last person who comes out at the end gets the money, but pretty much everyone else dies.
It was basically like, oh, you're vegetarian. I'll give you this much money if you eat a piece of meat. That was one of them.
Oh, okay.
But then it
that.
Gets
that
worse. Stupid. It was awful. Yeah. The guy cuts his own eyeball at the end.
Yeah.
And he still dies.
I do remember that.
I just remember the girl in the wheelchair, and they still had to, like, stab her artery. But she couldn't feel it because she was already in a wheelchair, and then she just bled out.
Oh, so sensitive. The layers of insensitivity. And sensitivity is amazing. All right, let's do this.
I think if anything is remade, I'd want it to be remade by Raimi.
Sure, you know? But he doesn't do a lot of movies.
Or James Wan.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. James Wan, the Conjuring people.
Yeah.
So that's who I would want to see remake anything, I think.
Yeah.
Not Raimi, James Wan.
I trust
him. I trust him with anything. I think, like, everything he does is amazing. So I would love to see him take something from the past that was okay and, like, redo it. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's you know, let's wrap it up. So I just want to thank Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you. This is so much fun. I like doing these.
You want to remind people how to see you and check you out?
Yeah, sure. So my handle is CantBuyMe80s on TikTok and CantBuyMe80s with an underscore at the end on Instagram.
Awesome.
Super. And, excellent.
If anybody embodies the 80s, she does.
Yeah.
And we're thankful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love it. You got to get all your college roommates into the same thing. We all have to keep passing down the torch.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll try.
80 years from now. Remember 1980 and 2060? That was amazing. All right.
But we got to remember the next time it comes on, we should do just one of the guys.
Yeah. Or, I'm down with that one.
Classic. We can. We can. Yeah. I also know that she's a diehard of Mannequin.
Yes.
No, I've watched that a few times.
Yes, I just watched it recently again.
People like it or they hate it. I love it.
It's okay.
I've been to so many locations where they film it at.
It's cute.
And you went to the store and wore the dress.
Yes, so I went to the store. So I went to the Boscovs in Pennsylvania years ago. And that one was just where they filmed some exterior scenes. And then I just went to the Macy's, the Wanamaker building, where they shot the interior. And that was awesome. But yeah, I brought like a screen accurate dress and hat and everything. And I was like, I got to remake these scenes.
Oh boy.
That's awesome. Cool. That's
so cute. Keep doing that. Yeah. I love it when you do that. That's so cute.
Well, that's we're very thankful that you join us, and it's a blast when you're here. So, I'd like to thank you for being here, and also like to thank Steve Lavoie for our vocal imaging and Draco and the Malfoys for our theme music. And please help us grow by liking the video, subscribing to our channel. We you know, we need that as much as you can give us, folks. And well, on the behalf of Chris Martineau and Melanie Harrington, I am Jay Fortier, and I'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Film Crickets. Until next time, movies may not age like fine wine, but we drink it anyway. Bye. Film Crickets, chirping about movies.